Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Today, our pastor, Eric Oram, will be preaching a sermon entitled Angels 101. If you would like a copy of this sermon or any other sermons from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3579. Here's Pastor Oram with today's message.
Hebrews 107 says, "And of the angels," he says, "who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Down to 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" And Galatians 3:29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Therefore you are no longer slaves, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Amen? Are you an heir this morning? Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to put in this little disclaimer first, okay? I'm not teaching that Christians need to get overly excited or intrigued with the subject of angels. We are not to do that. Overly intrigued. Cults form from such things, right? Our worship is directed to Christ Jesus. What happens with angels is simply an acknowledgement of their presence and an acknowledgement of their power. All right. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where we should talk to angels or give them commands. That's just, I haven't found that. So now we're going to read from Exodus 23 and 20. That's going to be the premise for a lot of where we're going today. Exodus 23, 20. All right. Here's what it says. Moses now is being instructed by God as he's in the wilderness. And God gives him this wonderful promise. He says, "Behold, I send my angel before you in the way, and to bring you into the place that I have prepared." But here's what it says that I never noticed before. "Be aware of him. I'm sending my angel before you to instruct you in the way, bring you to the place I've prepared." But he says, "Beware of him, obey his voice." Now watch this. "Do not provoke him." Ever think about that? "For he will not forgive," or depending what translation, "or pardon your transgressions." He can't do that. "For my name is in him," God said. "But if indeed you obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries." Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? "If you will obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. My angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off," says God. You see, God sent an angel before 2.5 million people going into the wilderness. And he did so for 40 years in the wilderness wanderings. One angel. Can you imagine? Now, just one angel for 2.5 million. See, we usually think in terms of human strength, and we really do not understand how powerful God's angels are. So God told Moses, "I send an angel before you, 2.5 million people, to keep you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared for you," which is what? Canaan, right? He said, "Beware of the angel. Obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak," says God, "then I will be an enemy to your enemies." Angels are all around us, our sister just said. They are very powerful. I don't know how many we'll have here today, but they're here. Angels are here. You're right, Sister Brenda. And there are different echelons of angels. Different echelons. You have the cherubs. You have the seraphim. You have the massive population of angels that come under the auspices of guardian angels or protective angels. And we don't know how many we have assigned to us personally, but at least one and maybe many. Helton Sutton, is it? He did some, he's a very, very articulate man of the word, and he's done some calculations, and he says there are a trillion angels. So if you divide up something like six or, how many we got, 6 billion now or seven? Six, isn't it? on the earth? 6 billion people? If you divide that out with 6 trillion angels, or a trillion angels, there's something like, I don't know, 20,000 angels per person. But we see in Scripture at least one angel, guardian angel. There are different echelons, and there are seraphim. We don't know, as I said, how many may be in the room, but no doubt there are. Then there are the ranking of angels. There are ranks. You hear of archangels, and you hear them named, and you don't hear the lesser angel's name, though. What you hear is, like, for example, Archangel Michael is named as the protector of Israel. Gabriel is named as the proclamation angel of the Lord. Lucifer was named the son of the morning, and from all indications, created with pipes and tablets in his chest, and he has something to do with worship in heaven. And that's why music can be dangerous for the child of God, because we know that Lucifer, being what some say, gleaned from Scripture, that he was a worship leader. And his created being was designed to emanate, you know, to billow us melodious sounds, and he led the worship, and pride rose up in him. And now the prince and the power of the air is controlled by him, and so we know he's going to utilize what he's gifted in, right? And what is his function? To kill and destroy you, right? And I? That's his function. And have you noticed that everything in this life kind of is circumvented, is it, by music somehow? I mean, you can't. I mean, the food goes down better with that music, right? That dinner music with a nice steak. Our life, we're consumed by every move we make. Music is involved. You can't sell a car. You can't advertise something on to sell. I mean, you put music with it, and it works. So that being the case, and that we know that there are two opposing forces in the earth, and God desires worship, music. I mean, come on. It kind of tweaks us to know that maybe, just maybe, we ought to be on guard in some areas of music, because the enemy would use that to sow things in our heart. The lyric, not so much as the melody. It's the lyric and that's wrapped up in the melody. And the issue becomes one of God being the one who created the Lucifer, yes, created the ability to do the music. Yes, it's God's creation. But when it goes through impure vessels, then that music becomes polluted. Just a little side note. So when you get into the archangel ranking, it may be the highest ranking of angels. But when you look into the book of Revelation, then you see something else. And you see these angels as wheels, and you see creatures with human heads, and so on. But you know what? They are all God's creation, and they are to fulfill the purpose and function of the kingdom of God. And we don't understand that, but we leave that with God. Amen? But our focus today is going to be on the angels. So the big thing that I believe, that I'd learned from this week, is that, you know what, folks? That we have to watch the words that come out of our mouth. We have to watch. Do I believe in the power of confession, like Kenneth Copeland and Pastor Hagin and those people? Yes, I do believe in the power of positive confession. Do I believe it can be taken to extreme? Yes, I believe it can be taken to the extreme, to the excess. But I do believe in the power of confession, and given the spirit in which we are talking today, I believe we have to be very careful what comes out of our mouths. Because, you know why? Angels hear our words. Not that we address them personally, but they give heed to the voice of the word. We're going to see that here in a moment. They give heed to the voice of the word. And here's a powerful scripture you never need to lose or forget. It's Psalm 103:20. Psalm 103:20 says this: Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength. See, we talked about how powerful they were. You his angels who excel in strength, who do his word. Watch this. Heeding the voice of his word. Heeding the voice of his word. So when you're in the most dire situation in your life, and you fill your mouth with the word of God, it activates the angels. See what I'm saying? See, the angels are giving heed to the voice of his word. So most Christians I've heard about the positive aspects of angels, and I thought we'd run mainly to all positive stuff. But you see, there are situations where they can be not so positive when we understand the commission of an angel and the power of our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. And if you don't say what you ought to be saying, then it can go bad for you. But most Christians have a positive image of angels, and they see them as this image of fleecy little white things with tiny wings, and you're apt to say, aren't they sweet? Those put a little angel on your tree, right? Those sweet little things. But the Bible says they excel in power. They excel in power. It's not something that little fleecy little thing on the side of your tree. We're talking about the angels of the Lord. You see, when the children of Israel was getting ready to be taken out of Egypt, God said, you know, he was trying to get Pharaoh to let God's people go. And he said, Moses, tell them that if they don't release my people, let them go, I'm sending through the death angel through the land. But guess who the death angel belonged to? God said, my angel. My angel is coming through the land to kill all the firstborn because he would not let God's people go. And strength, they are excel in power and strength, and they are what? Very intelligent. Not limited to time. They're not limited to space. And they can be put to work by hearing the word out of your mouth. That's the good news today. They can be put to work by the words out of your mouth. You see, we need to be cognizant of this fact. And when you speak the word of God, you need to be cognizant of the fact that Holy Spirit hears you, yes. And we need to be cognizant of the fact that demon spirits hear us also, but also be aware that the angels hear you, and you can actually put your angel to work by putting the word of God in your mouth. By putting the word of God in your mouth. Not that you're going to address them personally, no. But they need to hear the word of God coming out of your mouth. And they give heed to the voice of the word. King James Version says, they hearken unto the voice of the word. And the second thing we need to be aware of is this. If you get into strife, if you get into accusation and bitterness and grievances and grudges, that you can provoke the angel. Wow. You can provoke the angel. They excel in strength. Or that means they are very strong. It means they have faculties and capabilities you and I don't have. And they do his commandments. That doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. It is the commandments of the Lord, meaning heeding unto the voice of his word. You see, what we just read in Psalm 103 is, he who excelling strength, who do his word, who obey his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now listen, where's my Bible? What do I do with my Bible? Did I leave it down there? I gotta show you something. Now, angels give heed to the voice of his word. Listen to that, angel. You hear anything? What? You don't hear. But the Bible says that angels give heed to the voice of his word. Not a sound, right? But when I put this Bible on my vocal cords and I give voice to the Bible, angels hearken unto the voice of his word. Angels hearken unto the voice of his word. We got to put the word on our voice. Amen. We got to speak what God says about us. We got to declare, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And the angels go to work for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We give voice to the word of God. We give voice to the word. When Jesus was in the wilderness, what happened? He was being tempted of the devil. The Bible says that Jesus gave voice to the word of God. How did he overcome Satan? He gave voice to the word. It is written. Yes, sir. Isn't that what he said? I'm sorry that was too loud. But I'll try not to go up there. I'm supposed to be teaching. Hallelujah. But that's how he did it, didn't he? The devil was tempting, and Jesus wheels around and says, it is written. I can imagine the authority. And I'm sure he didn't say it like some limp wristed, well, it's written, you know. No! He said, it is written. That's how he defeated the devil, by giving voice to the word of God. It's written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And every time he said, it is written, Satan had to back off. He had to back off. And if you can't remember the word, you can remember, it is written, devil. And you hang on a minute, I'll find it. So when he said, it is written, the subject got changed and Satan was curtailed. His plan was aborted every time Christ said, it is written. That ended it. And gave voice, he gave voice to the word. Then the Bible says angels came and ministered to Jesus as soon as it was over. See the involvement of angels? Angels came and ministered to Jesus as soon as he defeated the enemy. Mission accomplished for the angel. They're sent forth as ministers to those that are the heirs of salvation also. So angels are the muscle of heaven. They are not human. They're very strong. They're supernatural. They do not sleep and will not forgive. And they will not hold a grudge. Now that's interesting, isn't it? The Bible says they hearken unto the voice of the word, but also angels can be provoked. One example of the story of Lot. Remember Lot's wife? Because of Abraham, because of the blessing of Abraham that we are recipients of today, the angel came down to free Lot and his family from the impending judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the angel came. Angel actually had to take the hand of Lot and his family, and he said to his family, he said, now, come on. The judgment of God is about to hit this place, so come on, let's get out of here. Now, this is the angel now, and he says, don't look back. Now, I don't see the angel having small talk, right? So a lot of you guys lived here anyway. You like it? What? At first, is there mall? I mean, he didn't. There's angels, they don't have a soul. There's not emotion. They're here to do a job, right? So he took him by the hand. God's judgments are coming. Come on. And so he's taking him out. And so he says, and I'm taking you, and remember, when I get outside the city, don't look back. Now, when he says that, he means it. He's sent for a purpose. He's got a job to fulfill, a function to fulfill, and he's going to carry it out. Why? How can he? Strong. He's got a power to do it. And remember, God said to Moses, he's going before you, but remember, obey his voice. Obey his voice. He gives heed to the voice of my word, but beware of the angel. He said, beware of him, and don't provoke him. Do you know what I believe Lot's wife did? She got outside the city, and she looked back. Didn't she? And what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. Angels are created beings for God's purposes. They don't have a soul like we do. So he said, now Moses, I send the angel before you. That's why Jesus in the book of Matthew said this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And then he said, remember Lot's wife. You remember that? This is in Matthew now, just in case you're hung up on old versus new. And Jesus brought this story back in the picture. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife did one thing that everybody remembers her by, looking back. But the issue was she provoked the angel. It's a different slant, isn't it? The angel tried to give her a way of escape, but she ignored him and provoked him. The Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. And remember Lot's wife. So in the coming of the Son of Man, in which we find ourselves today, how many know we're in the day? It's time, folks. We are, if we know anything about Bible prophecy, we got to know we're in the last days. And what happened last week in the Middle East, when all of the nations, 150, I guess, including the undecided, voted against Israel. Thank God for Canada. Thank God for Canada. He says, I will curse those who curse Israel, and I will bless those. Canada is in for a blessing. I believe that's what's going to qualify us for revival. I believe that's why God is going to pour his spirit in Canada, right from Vancouver Island to Newfoundland Island, from Bonavista to the great, what is it? Yes! Hallelujah! My God! I hear evangelists in the States, and they say, God is going to move right from, you know, right from this place to the Canadian border. And I says, just a minute. What are you talking about, the Canadian border? Keep on coming. God, I mean, because we stood for Israel, God is about to pour out his blessing on Canada. Yes, he is. From the rivers until the ends of the earth, the fire of God will burn. And I believe Canada is going to be a big part of that picture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So in the coming of the Son of Man, what kind of angelic activity will be on the earth right before the Lord comes? Have you noticed things are getting real bad on the global scale? Violence is everywhere, right? I don't want to be a killjoy. But for a child of God, this is not a killjoy. This is exciting. Yeah. We've heard this preached since we were in knee-high to a grasshopper. And I heard it even before that. Even before that. It was preached what's going to happen in the last days. And I see it being fulfilled. And it's exciting because the child of God, we're not going to be subject to the wrath of God. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So they are ganging up on Israel. And they're so quickly to get behind things that's not even rational and to come against Israel, and as the times are being fulfilled. So what was it like in the days of Noah? Violence. Violence. And you look at the Middle East today, at the streets, millions of people. There's so much violence all over the world. It's a sign. And in Revelation it says, woe, 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 because Satan is cast down to the earth among you. There's coming a time in the tribulation when God is going to cast him down to the earth. And the Bible says, woe, woe, woe. The Bible says things will get so bad, get this, that the angels will actually fly through the air and preach the gospel to the remaining inhabitants of the earth. Angels didn't stop in the Old Testament. We find them all the way through. Now let's look at Luke 1 and verse 11 and 15. It says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side. This is talking about Zacharias. Zacharias went to the temple to prepare the incense before the Lord and make the offerings. And as he was there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell on him. Well, that wouldn't be too out of character with most of us. And we're here and this angel appears there. And so he was troubled. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Now, I thought that very interesting, that statement there. Your prayer is heard, because Zacharias seems to know nothing about that prayer at this moment. It's like he must have prayed that prayer years ago. And concluded in his mind that God is not going to answer this prayer, and says, and see, God said no, and I'm never going to have a child. So the angel says to him, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What an announcement for the angel. And Zechariah said to the angel, now get this. He said, how will I know this? Can you imagine? He's an old man and maybe a little bit cranky by this time. And so this angel is there standing in front of him. He said, and tells him, your wife is going to have a baby, and this all these good stuff about him. He says, just how will I know that? Do you know I'm an old man? Look again, angel. My wife is well advanced in years. Have you seen her lately? But watch this. Then the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. Do you know who's standing in front of you? I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, now you will be mute and not be able to speak until these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Wow. He provoked the angel. Zacharias was negative, and the angel had the power to cut his mouth off. In other words, he was saying, look, if I don't stop your negative talk, you will destroy what God is trying to do. See that? If I don't stop your negative talk, you just could abort what God's plan is for you, or for your neighbor, or for your church. That's powerful. Now, look at the same setting in Luke. Let's go over and look at Luke 1:26-30. The story comes out. The same angel, Gabriel, came and said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. Coming with the great news again, the second person. Rejoice, highly favored of the Lord. She asked, how is this possible? Legitimate question. After all, she was a virgin, a young girl, you know. He says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Then Mary said this, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And the Bible says, and the angel departed from her. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Thank you, Lord. What a difference. What a difference. She did not provoke the angel, but Zacharias did. He, on the other hand, was struck dumb and couldn't speak. If one angel took care of 2.5 million people for 40 years, how much power will you have when you get a trillion angels together with the captain of the hosts of the armies of the Lord? How much power will you have when the captain of the hosts? To the Antichrist, I want to say this. To the Antichrist and the false prophet, you don't have a dog's watch. Satan, you lose big time because the Lord is the captain of the host of the armies of the Lord. And the armies of the Lord will follow behind Christ riding on a white horse. Amen? You're going to ride on white horses. And the man up front is the captain of the host of the armies of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If one angel killed 185,000 men in one night and took all the wheels off their chariots and didn't even break out in a sweat, what can God do with a host of angels? And I want to tell you something, folks. Things are going to happen in Charlotte County. Things are going to, why? Because the captain of the host is over Charlotte County. The captain of the host is over this region. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's in you and he is among you. We've got weapons available to us called the blood of Jesus. It's a weapon. We've got weapons available to us called the word of God. We've got a weapon available to us called the Holy Ghost and fire, and that goes before us. And on top of that, we've got angels. We've got angels that go before us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That gives us a sense of security, doesn't it? Peace. See, I mentioned this before, but in 1967, a newspaper from Georgia, USA, wrote an article about Israel. Remember in 1948, Israel got the land, became a nation, and then in 1967, war broke out, and they got Jerusalem back. Now, the general at the time was Moshe Dayan. He was a general over the armies of Israel. And they were saying to him, Moshe Dayan, why don't you attack the enemy now? You see, they're all being gathered there in the desert. Come on, move out. Let's go quickly. Come on. It's time to strike Moshe Dayan. Move out. What are you waiting for? And Moshe Dayan said this and is quoted in the paper. Here's what he said. I'm watching the angel of the Lord. And he's got a sword. And it's like this. And he said, I will not move out until I see that sword come down. Praise God. No wonder they took that they were outnumbered 6-1, and they had a phenomenal, phenomenal victory that outclassed any other battle that ever occurred. No wonder, because they had an angel who was gone before them. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Things are getting worse, but don't worry. Thank you, Lord. We have the captain of the host in charge. I want to hear you say that. Can you say that? Captain of the host.
Captain of the host.
Listen to that, devil. Listen to that and weep. And who is he? General Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But remember what the scripture says. Provoke not the angels. She looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Did God do that? No, the angel did it because she provoked him and disregarded his command. He spoke to her. Then there's a story. You're still not convinced? Two or three more stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, no, sir. We're not going to bow down to you. We're not going to bow down to the king's image. They said, our God will deliver us. Now, guess who heard those words? They said, our God will deliver us. They got the right words in the atmosphere, right? They got the right words out there in the atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. They were getting the right words in the atmosphere. And so when they cried, my God will deliver me, the angel is summoned right there, and he has put to work for them. Right there, the angel is summoned when we say the word of God. Now, what about another story? Daniel 3:28, Nebuchadnezzar. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not just a text for it. Who sent his angel and delivered his servant who trusted in him. This is what the king said. Who sent his angel and delivered his servant. There's a proof right there. The king rose early and went to the furnace and looked inside and screamed, did not we throw three men in the fiery furnace? True, O king. The word came back. Look, he said, I see four men. I see four men loosed and walking in the midst of the fire. Then he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come here, come forth. My God is able to deliver us many times when we speak negative and grumbling and complaining and standing right beside you. Standing right beside you, there's an angel of the Lord, and he's scratching his head and saying, why don't they say the word of the Lord? We're in this grumbling mode sometimes. We're complaining, and right there the angel can hear it, and we're speaking curses and we don't even realize it. And we could be saying, no, I'm going to overcome in Jesus' name. And like Linda said, when we were facing this really big battle, and I was ready to run, I was hiding and I was scared. She said, look at me, look at me. We're in the waiting room ready to go in and get devastating news, as I thought. She said, look at me. I said, what? I shall live and not die. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The angel is saying, doesn't he know that he's an heir of salvation? And I'm a minister to those who are heirs of salvation. We speak all this stuff, and we're getting beat up, and we admit defeat, and we predict doom, and we say all these things. Not good. Not good. We got one there who's a minister, who's to minister to me. Heir of salvation. I speak these things, and wow, he's saying, well, He doesn't know that he's an heir of salvation. I'm here to work for him. Now, what about Acts 12? Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. See that? Angels again. Angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly! And his chains fell off his hands. How could that be? I mean, they were heavy chains. They weren't meant to get out of, and they dropped. The chains fell off his hands. And when they were past the first and the second guard gate, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. I wonder what happened there. And they went out and walked down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. See that? Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. They're there to minister for us. How many times we don't take advantage of that and speak life? Thank you, Lord. What about this time of the year we celebrate this? On the Judean hills. What happened on the Judean hills? While shepherds watched their flocks by night, an angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. The angel of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. An angel announcing this amazing announcement, making this announcement, amazing proclamation. Then we see in Luke 22 and 42, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then the Bible says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. See, what I want to drive home today is, it's easier for us to dismiss, now. I know we say that, but not really. But just a moment, consider what we're saying here today. I think will change our lives. I think it's going to change our lives. And then we see in Luke 24 and 2, when Jesus was about to be raised from the dead, he said, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed and behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. Angels, why do you seek the living among the dead? He says, he is not here, he is risen. The angel made the announcement. Thank you, Lord. Then after 40 days, Jesus was on the earth. And then he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. I wonder, was that the end of the angel story? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men in white apparel again, two angels who said, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again. And the angel is witness to that. And he said, he's coming again the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to read to you Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In his righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. God can be God all by himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He came to Bethlehem wrapped in swaddling clothes. Innocent, defenseless little baby. Right here, he's coming. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. A little different image, isn't it? He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Watch this. Then I saw an angel. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds of that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Folks, angels enforce the Word of God. Angels enforce the Word of God. What we speak, what we say, is so important. Some of us may have said things. We may have made declarations, and we may have drawn lines in the sand. And we may be experiencing, as it were, a measure of defeat simply because we have not availed of that entity, that created being that God sent to be a minister to me, you, the heir of salvation. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation? Either that's true or it's not. If it's true, and we see examples all through Scripture, where if we ignore and if we speak grudging, grievous, negative things, we can even provoke the angel. That's a sign to minister on my behalf. The good news is I can speak the word of God, and that angel is powerful. He can do battle for me. We say, God fights my battle, but how many know he uses the angels to fight our battles? Now you say, well, what about the blood of Jesus? Yeah, exactly. That's why you're here today. That's why I believe Holy Spirit brought this to our remembrance. Could it be that Holy Spirit is calling us to a place of from this moment on? Could it be that he's saying, yeah, you have, do you remember it? I don't doubt one moment the Holy Spirit has brought to your remembrance, each of you, things that nobody else knows about. That's the way he operates. It's wonderful. He's an amazing teacher. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but he brought to our remembrance things, lines we've drawn in the sand, word curses spoken. And as an heir of salvation, there's a different requirement for us. You see, God never sent a redeemer for the one-third of the angels that fell. They rebelled and they fell. God cast them to heaven. He never ever sent a redeemer after them, but he sent one for us. And then he says, I'm baptizing you with my spirit. I'm filling you with my spirit. And I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to assign to you. I'm going to wash you, make you clean, make you ready. And then I'm going to assign to you angels. And they're going to be ministers to those who are the heirs of salvation. Wow. And so I'm asking us today, in your heart today, I believe Holy Spirit brought us to this moment, and he wants us to step out from that area of defeat that we may be living in. See, there may be areas in our lives that we find defeat, but other areas we're doing fine. But there are other areas that kind of keeps us going around the mountain, that keeps us another trip around the mountain. Do you know that everybody over the age of 20 in the wilderness experience never made it into Canaan? God said, Moses, tell them to beware of the angel. I'm sending them before you. They heed my word, but they can be provoked. What did they do? The people in the wilderness began to complain. They complained, and they said, we're going to die in this wilderness. Uh-oh. Guess who heard them? I wish I was back in Egypt. I love the smell of the onions. Bad choice of words. I got to interject something here, because those of you who don't know, my wife heard that the flu bug has stayed off if you cut onions up and put it around the house. We did. But God said, don't provoke the angels, Moses. Tell the people. They hear and give heed to the word, the voice of my word. And God's word was, I'm taking you on in. I'm taking you. I've gone before you. I have a place for you that's filled with milk and honey. And they says, I wish I was back where the leeks and the onions were. Never get the flu. And the angel heard it. And the angel said, can you hear? Can you hear what he's saying? Just listen to what he's saying. What's coming out of his mouth. The angel can't forgive you. Remember he said that? He can't forgive you. He's not going to forgive you. He's not like a human. He doesn't have a soul. Doesn't have emotion. He's sent to fulfill the purposes of God. And when we speak and give voice to the word, the angel is put to work. He's put to work. And he's powerful. He's God's idea. Amen? So I'm asking us today, you know, it'd be really good. Really good if we came forward. Now, I'm not the kind of preacher to ask people to come forward. I know. But if you did, it would be awesome. And you know what? Because do you know what I think? If we were absolutely 100% honest, and I'll be the first one up here, that we have walked in that lack of knowledge far too long. We've walked in that ignorance that cause areas of our lives to perish far too long. We've not put a guard before our mouth and a watch before our tongue, in other words. Why we do that? Why should we do that? Why is it there's... He said, I've given you life on your tongue. You have power to curse and to speak life. Well, how could that be? Maybe, is it because there's one listening who's assigned there? If I speak a curse, I'm provoking the angel. And if I speak life, I'm empowering the angel. Thank you, Lord. So could it be that God is merciful enough to have you here right now for this message? And he's saying, from this moment on, this is not just a cute service. I'm not out because it's Christmas time. It's a divine appointment. God said, I want to take you to Canaan land. I want to take you into the promises that you read about and didn't understand why you're not there yet. Is it because we provoked the angel? Is it because we're speaking curses and it comes back on our own life? And they're not experiencing the blessing in every area of our lives, which God desires for us. We can live in victory. We can reign from victory. Remember, we said that last week. And if you would embrace that in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to make this a commitment that from this moment on, Lord, remind me, Holy Spirit. Because the moment that we do, we can say, I'm sorry, Lord, I've said that. See, that disarms the enemy. I'm sorry, and also disarms the angel. Because the blood of Jesus is the ultimate power, amen? And he's looking for someone. He just, you know, God says, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap here. I want to release my mercy and my love. Just ask me. So we say, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, forgive me. And immediately. But we can be disciplined in that area until the point where we live a life of victory and our battles are being fought for us and we're walking around like king's kids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, can we just bow our head for just for a moment? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, how you confirm your presence here today already. We thank you, Lord, how you've spoken to individuals, things that known only to you and only to them. We thank you because you're faithful. We thank you because you are doing surgical work today. And we bless your name for it. And we receive, Lord, each of us receive your hand of correction. Each of us receive your guidance and the way you're leading us today. We receive that, Lord, and we ask, Father, that you empower us. And we, right now, Father, I pray everyone will find the strength to determine in their heart that from this moment on, I will walk in the revelation and the knowledge that I have one standing by me who has been sent to be a minister to me because I am an heir of salvation. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you don't know the Lord today, great time to come and meet Jesus. Make him Lord of your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8. Or call us at area code 506-755-3579. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.